The book of John. The book of John. John chapter number 4 this morning. John chapter number 4. We've been looking at the story of the Samaritan woman in the well and learning about worship and learning about revival and learning about all those different things. And as we start this morning, I want to ask you a question. I want you to seriously consider, I want you to raise your hands, but I want you to consider it inside your heart this morning. Have you ever been so ashamed of seeing something or doing something of your past that you didn't even want God to look at you? Have you ever been so ashamed that you thought that when God looked at you, He didn't love you anymore? Have you ever been at a point in your life, and you may be this morning, where you think, there's no way that I can ever, ever, ever get through this and that God will ever forgive me for these things? Maybe this morning you feel that way. Maybe you feel that you have passed the point of no return. May I tell you that God's grace is sufficient. You're never to a point where God says, I can't forgive you. See, God knows everything about us. He knows from the very moment we wake up to the very moment we close our eyes and go to sleep. He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows the scared of your thoughts. He knows exactly what you're afraid of. He knows your dealings. He knows all these things about you. Yet He still loves you. You. The woman at the well, and the story is very well known. Many of you have probably heard a message about this over and over and over again. But I want to pull some things out and point some things out to you this morning of learning how to worship, but also how revival can take place in your heart and then in your family and then the people all around you when we simply realize that even though God knows all about us, He still wants to use us in spite of ourselves. John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4, verse number 4, or John chapter number 4, verse number 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, He left Judea and departed to Galilee. And I love in verse number 4 it says, and He must need to go through Samaria. That means that Jesus intentionally chose, it was a mission of His to go directly through Samaria. Now you know the story that Samaria was in the middle section and the Samaria was full of Samaritans. How much does that make sense? Samaria is full of Samaritans. That makes a lot of sense. But the problem with Samaria was it was full of people who were half Jewish and half Gentile. They were of mixed race, mixed blood. The Jews didn't like the Samaritans because they were half Gentile. The Gentiles didn't like the Samaritans because they were half Jewish. And these were people that were abandoned. These were people who were forgotten. These were people who were rejected all the time. And so oftentimes, when a Jew had to travel to the other side of Israel, instead of going directly through Samaria, they would always go around, because they didn't want to have nothing to do with the Samaritan people. But I love how it says in verse number 4 that Jesus intentionally went through Samaria. He knew where He was going. He knew who He was going to meet. And He knew exactly what was going on. You may think, well, Brother Brian, I'm just here by accident this morning. I just so happened to get my clock set right. And I just in time made it to church. No, there's no such thing as an accident with God. He knows where we are. He knows when we're there. And He knows what we're dealing with at all times. I love how it says that Jesus intentionally went through Samaria. Do you feel rejected this morning by the world? Do you feel like the world wants nothing more to do with you? Maybe your family, you feel that way. Maybe you feel that way in church. Maybe you feel that way at work, and you feel like, you know what? You have done the wrong thing for the very last time. May I tell you that nothing is unforgivable by God other than denying Jesus Christ as your Savior. But it's not too late. So it says he must need go through Samaria. Verse number 5, and then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat at the well and was about the sixth hour. It was hot, and they were tired, and they were wore out. And then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Now, the story goes that it was about noon, and it was hot, and it was tiring, and everybody else was in the shade and cooling off, because it was very hot during the day. But this one woman comes to the well. We say, well, Brother Brian, what's so unusual about the story? Usually when the women came to get water, it was always in the morning time because it was cool. And they would come in their groups and they would come and get the water and then they would go home and finish preparing for the day. So why did this woman pick noon to come to the well? Why did she not come with all the other women? As we learn in the story, she had a reputation. She had something to be ashamed of, she thought in her mind. She was known as a woman of the world. Several husbands, several relationships, several mistakes. She was rejected by people. She was rejected by herself. And so she thought that because she had done all these things, she deserved to not have love, compassion, or care from anybody. When she woke up that morning, it was the same thing to her. Well, another day of rejection, another day of hate, another day of anger, another day of facing the stares, another day of hearing the whispers, another day of nobody caring for me. She became her own worst enemy. Let me ask you a question. Do you know, don't raise your hands, but do you know somebody just like that? And your heart goes out to them? Maybe you're that way this morning. It took all you had to get here today. You feel like everybody's staring at you. You feel like everybody knows your story. You feel like nobody cares about you, and all they can do is talk about you, and all they can do is whisper and gossip about you. And more importantly, God hates you, and He wants nothing to do with you. Do you feel that way this morning? That's how a woman was feeling. That's why she came at noon. But I love the very first thing that Jesus tells her. He says this. He says, give me to drink. His disciples were gone, so it was just him and her. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. She says, why are you talking to me? I'm a Samaritan, can't you tell? And you're a Jew. Why are you even talking to me? See, the Jewish tradition, religion, taught that a man was not allowed to talk to a woman privately that was not married to him. And even specifically, there's no way that a proper Jewish man would even speak to a Samaritan in a crowd, in a situation, or even by themselves. And so when he says this to her, she says, why are you talking to me? But I don't think she's doing accusatory. I think she's simply surprised and saying, why are you talking to me? And I'm sure her guard goes up. I'm sure instantly she starts thinking, oh no, this Jew is going to start judging me now. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. He says, if you realized who I am, and if you realize the gift that I have for you, and if you realize the healing that I can bring to you, you would have asked me for everything that I've got. Brothers and sisters, may I inform you this morning that Jesus Christ can heal every broken heart. I know it's an hour early. Some of you got to wake up this morning. So let me tell you again, Jesus Christ can heal every broken heart, even yours. Do you feel so low that you think that God doesn't care anymore? The woman said unto him, Sir, you have nothing to draw with. She still can't get it in her mind. And the well is deep. From whence thou hast you this living water? She looks at him and says, how in the world are you going to get water out of that deep well? Kind of like we act sometimes. Well, I've messed up again. I blew it again. I ran over the dog this time because I ran over the cat last week. I got a flat tire the 2 weeks before that, and I ran out of gas, and it just seems like it's a constant problem. Every single week or every single day, I just keep messing up, and I keep messing up, and I keep messing up. There's just no hope. Maybe you feel that way. May I tell you that Jesus came to free you from that bondage of doubt and mess-ups in life. He's the only one that can. Alcohol won't do it. Drugs won't do it. Promiscuity won't do it. Relationships won't do it. Jobs won't do it. Hobbies won't do it. People won't do it. Only Jesus Christ can. This woman came to the well looking for regular water, but she comes and meets the Savior who had living water for her. I love what he says. Verse number 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whoever drinketh of this water, the well water, you're going to thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He says, you can drink from this well all you want to, and you're going to get thirsty again. But when you ask forgiveness and you have my mercy and my grace, you'll never thirst again. Many of us know somebody who's drinking from the well of the world. They've tried relationship after relationship after relationship, and it always ends bad. They've tried drug after drug after drug, and it always ends bad. They've tried habit after habit after habit, or hobby after hobby. They've tried everything they could, and it seems like it ends up in failure every single time. Let me ask you a question. How many of you know somebody like that? I'm not going to ask you how many of you are like that, because honestly, this morning we'd raise our hand saying, that's me. May I tell you, Jesus knows. And he shakes his finger, it says, I hate you, get away from me, I'll never forgive you. Is that what Jesus says? Absolutely not. Look what he says here. I love it. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water. I want this everlasting water that I thirst not. Neither come hither to draw. She says, I'm tired of coming to this well. I'm tired of trying everything I could because it hadn't satisfied me yet. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom you now have is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. She finally realized what he was talking about, and she confesses her need. She says, there's something different about you. I need help. And Jesus looks at her with the mean, evil, horrible look. You know that one that mama gives you when you're messing up? No. He doesn't look at her with that kind of look. I think he looks at her with an eye of compassion. And he says, "Ma'am, I know that you've got lots of husbands. And I know that the man you're living with right now, I know that he's not even your husband. Get away from me because you stink and I want nothing to do with you." How many of you are glad that Jesus didn't say that to her? Because you know what? That was you and that was me. And it may be you right now. Failure after failure after failure. Mess up after mess up after mess up. And you're just waiting for the lightning bolt to come down. But the arms of Jesus in compassion are holding up and said, "Listen, come to me. All ye who are laboring and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Aren't you tired of trying it the world's way? Aren't you tired of going through relationships and the drugs and the alcohol and the hobbies and the habits and all? Aren't you tired of it yet? Haven't you had enough? Come to Jesus. He's the only one that can clean you. He's the only one that can forgive you. He's the only one that can restore you to what He intended you to be. I can hear Him crying out, "Oh, my dear son, just come to me. Oh, my dear daughter, I love you, come to me." He tells her these things. And then they talk about where to worship and all those kinds of things. We've looked at that. But I want you to go down to verse number 25. "And the woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah is coming, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And then Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he." Now his disciples show up on the scene. Verse number 28, "The woman left her water pot and went her way into the city, and she said to the men." Now, why did she go to the men here? She leaves her water pot. She forgets all about why she originally came, and she goes running to the city, and the men are out in the city, and she goes to them. Now, what men do you think she went to? What men did she go and have this conversation with? Probably the men that she'd been messing around with. The people she'd been hanging out with. The ones that she felt comfortable with. She goes to them and listen to what she says. "Come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ?" She says, "I want you to meet someone who freed me. I want you to meet somebody who knows all about me, yet he still loves me. Is he not the one that the prophecies talk about?" She was happy. She was joyful. She was saying, "I'm free! Hallelujah!" But you say, "Now, wait a minute, Brother Brian. How in the world does she know that that's who he is?" Well, hold your finger right here. I want to go to my favorite passage in the whole New Testament. Go to Luke chapter number 4. Let me show you. Luke chapter number 4. Jesus' mission statement. This is why he came. She knows what the Old Testament says because evidently she goes and she hears at there in Samaria they have the place to worship. And she goes there and she's taught. But look what Jesus said about himself way before he met this woman. Luke chapter number 4, verse number 18, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus says, "I have come to free you. I have come to deliver your soul. I have come to meet the most important need that you have, and that's a spiritual need. You know what our country needs right now? We don't need a new president. We don't need a new Congress or a new Senate. We don't need a new governor. We don't need a new mayor. We need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit in people's lives. We need people to repent of their sins, and we need people to get on their knees and say, "Oh God, please forgive me, and God, I want to walk with you." That's what we need. The government does not contain the answer. Your jobs and your finances and your hobbies and habits, the answer is not there. The answer is realizing who we are, whose we belong to, and what He wants to do in our lives. She didn't go back and start demanding that the Roman government leave. She didn't go back and do all that. You know what she went and did? She began to tell those men that she was forgiven. What about you this morning? Are you forgiven? Are you walking in the newness of life that Jesus Christ offers to you? Now look what she says continually with this people. She says, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city, and they came unto him. And in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat." As soon as these men heard what Jesus Christ did for her, they wanted the same exact thing. Listen, don't worry about him, okay? Listen to God's word. They wanted what the woman had. May I tell you that what the woman experienced with Jesus Christ is the same exact thing that He wants to give you this morning. He wants to give you healing. He wants to give you forgiveness. He wants to give you a walk with Him like you've never had before. He wants to do that this morning. Can I ask you, is that what you need today? That's what He wants to give to you. Some of you are hurting this morning, and you're so desperate. You're so desperate that you want forgiveness in your life. May I tell you, Jesus Christ offers that forgiveness. He wants to meet you where you are. He wants to cleanse you. He wants to forgive you. And He wants to make you what He wants you to be. You're not helpless. You're not a waste of time. And He doesn't hate you. May I confess to you this morning, there's been times in my life that I have felt completely helpless. I have felt like God doesn't want me, that I have crossed the line for the very last time, and that He hates me. May I tell you, none of those things are true. It's not too late. Don't give up. Repent, return back to God, or maybe for the very first time, you need to trust Jesus Christ for salvation. Now, what happened with the woman after this? What happened to her after the men went and found Jesus Christ? What happened to her? We don't know. We have no understanding of what took place in her life. But here's the issue. That's not important that we know what she did. What's important is, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do? Are you going to return back to that same lifestyle that Jesus has delivered you from? Are you going to continue down that same bad road making the same bad decisions, doing the same bad things? Or are you going to say, oh God, I'm so sorry, please forgive me? And are you going to turn back to Him and start living the way He intended you to live? I'm glad that my Savior, Jesus Christ, didn't die for the good. He died for the entire world. Don't give up. Give up what you're doing and give up your authority and give up your willingness to do what you want to do and surrender yourself to Jesus Christ. He's the only hope. One of the last conversations that He had on this earth before He was crucified, He was with the men in the upper room and He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. Is Jesus your Savior? Does He hate you? No. He says, my child, come back to me. I imagine that every day of her life from then on, she lived a life of revival. She lived a life realizing she was forgiven. She lived a life and telling other people about what Jesus Christ did for her. I'm no different. I want to live my life knowing that I've been forgiven. I want to live my life in such a way that people see Jesus Christ. I want to make a difference in other people's lives because of what He's done for me. How about you? How about you this morning? Let's all stand together. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I know there's lots of distractions. That's okay. Don't worry about all that. But for these next few moments, would you just kind of close your eyes? Would you just kind of maybe, I don't want to be wrong here, but would you just kind of just toss everything out except for the Lord right now? Would you speak to Him? And would you just have a conversation? Maybe you've not gone so far as to completely turn away, but maybe there's some things going on. And He's calling you back and saying, my dear child, come to me. I'm right here. Maybe you feel like you have turned completely away and He can't forgive you. May I tell you, it's not too late. Come back. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Today's the perfect day to do that. He loves you. He wants to restore you. But you got to do it His way, not the ways of the world. For the next few moments, I'm going to pray. And then I just simply want you to talk to God. Heavenly Father, thank You for this morning. Thank You for the woman at the well. I don't even know her name, but You do. But I thank You most importantly for Jesus Christ who forgave her, who brought her to Him and gave her that living water. There may be someone in this room that needs that living water. There may be somebody in this room that needs to realize and understand that it's not too late to come back. Because God, nothing happens by accident. Would You do the healing, the restoring, and the saving that needs to take place today? Please, God, only You can. In Christ's name I pray.